We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 7th chapter, the 10th Pasuk. The Navi had been talking to the Judean king named Achaz, the wicked king Achaz. And Achaz is being attacked from the north, from the northern 10 tribes, together with Ritzin, the Aramean king. And they've laid siege on Jerusalem. And they're scared. Everyone's scared. And God sends the Navi Yeshayahu, the Navi Isaiah, and he tells him, don't be scared. They are going to be destroyed. Their kingdoms, in a very short time, their kingdoms will cease to exist. And you have nothing to worry about. If you'll only believe in me, Hashem says, things are going to work out. They're going to work out anyways. But if you'd only believe, you'd be calmer. Pasuk Yud. Vayosef Adonai daber el Achaz lemor. So then God continued and said to Achaz, and again, this is through the Navi. When it says Hashem said, so the Navi words it that way, even though it means through the Navi, Hashem said, She'al lecha ha'ot me'im Adonai Eloheicha. The Navi tells him, ask for a sign. Tell me what you want as a sign that this is going to happen. Here you are, you're under siege. Two very powerful kings have placed you under siege, and you're obviously worried, and I'm telling you not to worry. So ask for a sign, God says. Hamek she'ala, o hagbeya lemala. You could ask for a sign from the depths. You can ask for a sign from the heights of heaven. You ask whatever direction you want. Vayomer Achaz lo eshal velo anaseh et Adonai. And what does Achaz say? No, I don't want. Chazal say that the reason he didn't want was because he didn't want God's name to be sanctified. It's a phenomenal thing. It's like the genie coming out of the bottle. Give me your wish. And Achaz says, no. So remember, Achaz was the one who went to great pains to remove the faith from the Jewish people, to ensure that children do not learn about Hashem as the Creator. And so Achaz isn't interested in being proven wrong. This has been his philosophy all along. There is no God. So now God comes and tells him, you tell me what sign you want. And he says, I don't want to tell you. I don't want a sign. Vayomer Shimuna Beit David. So the Navi says, listen here, the house of David. And earlier the commentaries said that he didn't want to refer to him by name. So he's referring to him by family. Hame'at mikem hal'ot anashim ki tal'u gam et Elohai. It's bad enough that you tire down the people. You have such pride. You wear down your citizens. Now you want to wear down God, so to speak, with your brazenness. Lachen yitein Adonai hu lachem ot. Being that you do not want God's name sanctified through you, so God says, okay, I'll make my own sign. Hineha alma. Behold the young girl, which is, we're talking about his wife. Hara v'yoledet bein v'karat shemo Immanuel. As far as you know, your wife isn't pregnant. You're going to see she's going to be pregnant. And then, when the child is born, you're going to see that she will name him Immanuel. God is with us. The enemies will not take us down. So that's going to be the beginning of the sign. Yeah.
I remember once I argued a long time with a Christian that this verse doesn't have anything, doesn't say what they say it does about the virgin birth. And then what was frustrating is maybe I misunderstood, but it's like seriously a week after that I heard somebody, and maybe even you in your class, say that there is an opinion that this is actually talking about a virgin. There's an opinion that it can be that. Maybe I misunderstood. I was really frustrated. Like, oh my gosh,
I remember you being in class once being very frustrated.
I hear, but it wasn't this.
It was something else that frustrated you about this.
It was not a Christmas class.
No. I remember you were sitting right there, and you were very upset. It was a Friday class too. The word Alma means young girl. It has nothing to do with whether she's a virgin or not. She could be a virgin. She could not be a virgin. Right. Maybe that's what upset you when I said it could be. It doesn't say. That's not what it says. Right. Alma in all of Tanakh. The word Alma means a young girl.
There's no serious opinion that puts this verse and says, well, actually could also be, not talking about the word Alma, but like this verse can be talking about a miraculous virgin conception.
I don't see, I'm unaware of any commentary that says that, and I don't see how anyone would say that.
Okay,
I'm saying from the words, the commentaries will say that part of the sign he's giving him is that the girl will become pregnant. You want to translate it this way or that way, it doesn't say what's the sign about that. Is it that she will become pregnant? Is it that she will give birth to a child? Is it that she will name him? Or is it the continuation? Because the Navi's in the middle of a sentence. But it doesn't have to say that. If you want to say that's what it says, so that deserves a longer discussion about whether you could or can say that. But I'm saying the words, God will give you a sign, and the truth is, if you want to go into it, so then... it needs to be discussed why it uses Hashem's name of Aleph, Dalet, and then Nun and Yud. Why does it use that name over here? But for whatever. Hineha Alma, behold the young girl, Hara, which could mean will become pregnant or is pregnant, Violedet Bain, and is giving birth to a son, Vikarat Shimon, she will name him, Immanuel, the potent one is with us.
That's a verse that Christians use to support the whole theory.
The name
In general, a name in Tanakh doesn't have to mean that was his name. Could be it was his nickname, like he's saying he had 20 names, or it could mean this is the idea he represented, that we find throughout. Was Moshe his name? His name was Tovia, Yekutiel, his name was other things. When we say the word Moshe, Moshe has much more meaning than the name. Did people in his generation call him Moshe? I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. His name was Tovia.
His name was Tovia?
Yeah. Yeah. Moshe's name was Tuvia. What did his parents call him? Batya, the daughter of Paro, calls him Moshe. Was Batya's name Batya? No. But because she converted to Judaism as the daughter of the Pharaoh, so as a Gioret, she was given the name Batya, the daughter of God. But saying was that... by the way, I have no idea whose that is.
It seems to follow us.
Fine. Yeah.
So it could be that the people in the Midbar were saying, talking to Moshe, they weren't using the name Moshe. The Torah records it as if they were using the name Moshe.
Sure. That's a discussion in a few places. That's a discussion primarily when Moshe is given his name. Because the question is, how did the daughter of Pharaoh know Hebrew to call him Moshe? So the commentaries want to say she called him Moneas. She didn't call him Moshe. She used the Egyptian word and the Torah translated it. Yeah. And then other commentaries come out and say, you can't say that! So it's a big discussion. Whatever.
But in any case, it seems to have more indication further for the idea that the Torah doesn't always record exactly what historically happened.
Right. I would say it differently. If you look at the Torah as a book of history, so then it has to record what happened historically. If you look at the Torah as a book that's there to teach you a way of life, so then the way the Torah portrays things is with regards to the message the Torah wants to give. Whether it happened this way or that way, the Torah wanted to portray it this way. And you have many stories that way.
So again, we have to rely on the oral tradition to know when the Torah is, when something is literal, when something is not exactly as it is.
You said that.
But didn't Moshe write the...
Well, I have another way to know. I mean, like you say, like, do the people wander through the desert? Yes.
Yehuda, you took a big concept and said a big sentence. It doesn't work that way. On Ein Mukdom Umuchar Bat Torah Tzemachlokas Rambani Bin Ezra. On it depends which concept. You can't just say there are places where Chazal said the Pasuk teaches it to us. When it comes to the term Guzmos, then there's a tshuva of Rav Sadia Gaon, I think. One of the Gaonim, I think Rav Sadia Gaon, that says what you said, that you need the tradition to know when the Torah didn't mean it literally. But that's, again, that's not so simple, because you have the Lamed Beis Midos Shatorah Nidreshes Ben. You have 32 laws of inference where you say the verse itself indicates to you differently. And sometimes from the verses you're supposed to understand, don't take this literally. Next week we're going to read about Yaakov crossing Ma'avar Yabok, and a man shows up and he fights with him, and what's going on here? So you need a tradition to realize there's something weird going on here. Where do you come off fighting someone who tries to rob you and then telling him, bless me? And the guy says, let me go because the sun's going to rise. So? I'm saying you read the parasha, it makes no sense unless you're going to start saying what we have on tradition. And so you could keep going on and on and on. What's going on with Lot and his daughters in the cave, and what's going on with Lot and the people who come and take him out over there? And every few parashios, you have a story which demands something, some more depth, and sometimes the story itself is indicative. And if we know well enough how to be medayek, so then sometimes we can understand without the tradition, we can understand how to infer. And remember that we discussed in class last week, the laws of inference are laws of logic, and when mastered the way they were in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, they could be used without a tradition. So then it's not so simple to say what you're saying.
Okay, but let's just mention about events that are borderline. You could either explain them the way they're said, or you could argue that there's no way you can't explain them the way they're said. Or something that easily could be argued.
So you're discussing whether something's metaphoric or not. So that's where the Gaonim say what you said. You have to have a tradition, otherwise you don't know, because otherwise you could say the whole story of Maimed Har Sinai is metaphoric. Was there really only one Adam and one Eve? Okay, so you're right. You have to have a tradition, otherwise you can make metaphors of everything. The Talmud says that. In Megillah. The Talmud discusses people who want to say certain psukim are metaphors, and the Talmud says they destroy the Torah, Megillah and Sota, right? The Talmud says people think they're going to be extra pious and make the Torah extra stringent by taking concepts in the Torah and extrapolating and saying the Torah meant even more. It's only a metaphor. The Talmud says that's wrong. Okay. Say there, but it's a big topic. You can't. What?
Can do that for some things, no? It's only like
when we have a tradition. So she's going to have a child, and she will name him Immanuel. Chema udvash yochel ledato maos bara uvachoh batov. The child will eat chem'ah. What is chem'ah?
Butter.
Thank you. He will eat butter, whatever that is in their days. And dvash, he will eat honey. Leda'ato. And here, there are two interpretations what the word leda'ato means. The simple interpretation is, even before he knows ma'os bara uvacho batov, to despise evil and choose good, even before he has that level of intellect, he's already going to have butter and honey. And then another interpretation says, Lidaato, he will innately know Ma'os mara, to despise evil, and bachor batov, to choose good. Okay. Ki b'terem yeida na'ar ma'os mara u'vachor batov. Because before the child knows to despise evil and choose good, te'azev adama asher ata hakatz mipnei shnei melacheha. Before he reaches that age, so the land will that you're disgusted with will have the two kings removed from it. These two kings that think they're going to take over you, they're going to be gone before he understands that. So that's the sign. Yavi Adonai aleicha ve'alamecha aval beit avicha. God will bring from somewhere else upon you and your nation and your father's house. Yamim asher lo vahu lemiyom sur Ephraim me'al Yehuda. There will be terrible days like you haven't experienced since the days the kingdom has been divided. Things have been bad since then. Well, it's going to be worse than that. It's going to be Eit Melech Ashur. It's going to be the Assyrian king who's going to come down to Tiglath Pileser that is going to lay siege, and things are going to be worse than they ever were. So he's telling him, on the one hand, you're going to see it's going to get much better. These two kings you're worried about, they're going to leave. On the other hand, it's going to get much worse. The Assyrian king is going to come and lay siege on Judea. V'aya b'yom ha'hu yishrok Adonai la'zevuv asher b'kzeh ye'orei Mitzrayim. On that day, when Sanherib comes, so Hashem will whistle. He will call with a whistle the zevuv, the flies, and that's a metaphor for the armies that have so many people like a bunch of flies. Asher b'kzeh ye'orei Mitzrayim, that are at the edges, at the outskirts of the Niles of Egypt. Now it's called ye'orei because the Nile has many offshoots, so that's why it's called the Niles in multiple sense. So the tremendous Egyptian army will come with the Syrian army. V'la devoram asher be'eretz Ashur, and together with these flies, Hashem will call in the bee that is in the Assyrian Empire, which is the large and braver warriors of the Assyrian king. Uvahu v'nachu chulam b'nachalei habatot. They will come and they will camp in the valleys that are desolate. Nachalei habatot. We had earlier v'ashiteyu vata. Batot could mean destruction. So the desolate valleys, that they're going to have so many armies, they won't have where to camp them. So they'll find all these desolate valleys to camp their soldiers. Uvin kikei haselaim, and they're going to camp in the crevices of the rocks. They're going to look for any coverage. Uvechol ana atzutzim, uvechol ana lolim. They will camp out next to thorns. They will camp out next to any tree they find. Even the nahalolim, the little trees, the little bushes, they're going to look for any coverage they can to sleep in, because they're going to have so many soldiers, they'll have no place to house them. And then, we'll pick up there, Bezachim, next week, what's going to happen when the Assyrian Empire comes and surrounds us.